inspire, educate, connect. This is Yoga Digest, a vibrant community of passionate changemakers.
I'm Jen Bodner, and you're listening to Yoga Digest Now. We feature real people and real stories. Yoga Digest is your resource for inspiration, health, and well-being. Wake up to the now with tips from the experts on being the best you, achieving your goals, and finding balance for your mind, body, and soul. The time for living life fully is now.
Hello, and thank you all so much for listening to the Yoga Digest Now podcast. I am so fortunate to have the opportunity to visit with Robert Sturman, my dear talented friend today, who I haven't seen in far too long. Perhaps you've heard of him. To call him a photographer is just simply does not do justice. He truly is an artist, and what he captures with his soul, and I'm just so excited to get to share him with you today. Robert, how are you?
Hello, Jen. First of all, thank you so much for having me here. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great. I'm just, like I said, I don't know why we haven't done this sooner. It's been far too long. You know, we were catching up right before we started recording here about how you have done some work with the magazine back when Yoga Digest was still in print. And I obviously still follow you on Instagram and see the amazing work that you're doing. But I wanted to just share this. And I know we've done some different interviews with you on Yoga Digest as well, but just to have a conversation with you because it's, you know, the world has changed quite a bit since we were working together and running into each other in those ancient traditions we used to celebrate called yoga festivals, where lots of people gathered together and hugged one another and spent days on end with one another. And I feel like I'm missing a lot of my yoga community, you included, by those not happening right now. So that's another reason I wanted us to have the opportunity to connect. But just with our listeners today, I wanted, if you can kind of bring us up to speed, tell us how you kind of got into taking photos. Is this something you always did as a kid, or did it come about later in life?
I was a, you know, that's a great question, obviously. When I was 14 years old, my father dropped me off at boarding school. And he gave me a camera. And when I asked him what I was supposed to take pictures of, he said, anything that you love, which at the time it was just like, yeah, anything that you love. But it ultimately ended up being the greatest piece of artistic advice I'd ever receive up to this day. And so I got into taking pictures when I was at boarding school. And I was horribly clumsy at it. I would copy people, and I was horrible. I had no talent whatsoever. But, you know, every once in a while, I would get lucky, and I'd make something that I thought was really cool. And so I began to just copy my own luck. And eventually, over time, it became a language. And ultimately, what I was in the beginning... This is the pre-yoga era. I was photographing and making art out of desperation, because I was so uncomfortable with life or growing and being human and teenager and all that stuff that I clung to art to find meaning and just find some sort of a relief or just identity of some sort. And that was the way it was for many years. And it drove me in a ferocious manner to educate myself with art history and to dive into self-expression. But it was just the beginning. And it wasn't until I started to practice yoga or think about yoga and just self-care and self-love that I began to rewrite the story of what it meant to be an artist, and I dropped the whole desperation BS thing.
That's beautiful. And, you know, in these days, I'm guessing that you might you didn't quite have the camera phone available to you, and you probably had to wait sometimes to get your photos back, and just that whole evolution in itself. And I want to make sure we touch on that, just how you feel, you know, the ability for everybody to always have a camera at their fingertips, how that's kind of evolved. And maybe you can tell us a little bit how that evolved you and your work as well.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I love the idea of focusing on one shot. Like when I did the cover for Yoga Digest of Kristen Press, mm-hmm. I don't think I sent you the proofs, because there probably weren't more than 10 exposures. I can't even remember if I sent you the proofs, but I was originally, first I was a photographer with just a regular camera that had film. So you weren't excessive about it, because it costs a lot of money to process images. But then when I transferred over to a process of photography when I was 18 years old, using a Polaroid camera in which each exposure was $1.50, I learned the technique and the art of mindfully pressing the shutter. So basically paying attention. And, you know, I'm fortunate to have been trained in the era before that god-awful statement, "I'll fix it later in Photoshop," was invented. Because what "I'll fix it later in Photoshop" means to me is I don't have to be present right now. So when I was doing the Polaroids, I had to feel, strike, and hit my target. And because there was no, and if you messed up, it was you threw it away. That's all you did. You couldn't go back. So you got it right. You paid attention. You were present. And that's when I really had the opportunity to develop a philosophy, which I refer to now as the yoga of seeing. So it's really about paying attention and knowing my craft well, so that I can really be in the moment and with my subjects, which is really the art of being a photographer, is being a good person that knows how to connect with people. That's the people skills are what they need to teach you in photography school. So, and then the next part of your question is how I feel about everyone being able to, say again?
Just how pretty much everybody can be a photographer. You know, we all have a camera on us at all times, and
yeah,
it impacts the type of, you know, like you're saying, you are very intentional about the photographs that you take, and people are quite the opposite. "I'll fix it later," like you said, just not being present.
Right. Yeah.
Do you feel like this is going to impact photography over time or anything like that? Like
tremendously. But it's giving photographers that are really sincere and passionate about it to the opportunity to master their craft even more so. Because yes, everyone is a photographer. It's part of our language now, but not everybody is a great photographer, and they stand out. I mean, I look on Instagram and I see National Geographic photographers. I mean, there's a difference, you know, there's masters that really capture the decisive moment. And so, yeah, everyone's a photographer, but,
Well, you certainly are a master. There's no doubt about that. You mentioned, and you teed it up very nicely there, Robert, when you talked about being present and the, you know, your work being the yoga of seeing. I wanted you to share with us a little bit, if you will, about how you got into yoga and when and how that started to impact your very powerful work.
Well, I grew up in Los Angeles, so, and yoga was really coming of age when I was in high school and college. That's when Yoga Works was founded. And so I'd never done it, but I always heard about it. And it's one of those things like that you like, just, it's like going to a health food store. It's so foreign to you, but you know it's good. And it's, or going to a spiritual bookstore, like when you're a kid and you want to branch out and open your mind to different things. So yoga was kind of one of those things that was exotic to me, that I had a fantasy that people that did yoga had the ability to be kind of superhuman type of people, which I think maybe we all have that kind of fantasy at first and then realize how much work it is. And ultimately, it is true that we learn how to be better at being human. But when I was in college, I took a couple classes, and I always had it, but never really took it very seriously. But when I was 30, I went to India for the first time. And when I walked into, I started at Osho's meditation resort in Pune. And right when I walked in, there was a large sign, and it was called The Way of the Creator. And I had, you know, done yoga classes and everything, but it was not really a part of who I was yet. But I saw this sign, and it read The Way of the Creator. And it said, to be creative means to be in love with life. You can only be creative if you love life so deeply that it comes naturally to offer a song here, a poem there, a dance over here, and a painting over there. And when I read that, that was the beginning. That was truly the beginning of my journey with yoga, because I realized, and it's all integrated with my journey as an artist, because I realized I could let go of the story of the self-destructive artist and rewrite that story and make my life a masterpiece, make my life my art, my life healing and wonderful. And then the art would just be an offshoot of a life that was really well cared for and well lived. And so that was really it, seeing that statement. And then there was another thing that happened around that time where I was sitting in a museum in Europe and just looking at all the art and the hundreds of people that were in there and in this multi-million dollar structure with security guards. And I looked around and it was many of my artistic heroes, and they were obviously all gone because it's from a long time ago. But I thought about their lives, and there wasn't really one of them that didn't live a destructive life. And so it occurred to me, like, wow, all these people are coming to look at the work of these artists, and the art is taken such good care of and cherished, but the artists didn't take care of themselves. There's something wrong with that. So that too was another epiphany that would really deepen my yoga practice. So when I talk about my yoga practice, yes, the down dogs and the crows and all that stuff, but really what I'm talking about is my willingness to cherish my life.
Being present, you know, it's really all about awareness and being 100% present. And so beyond physical, and really, so it's emotional and it's sensual. And I think that even throughout the physical practice, we do get to feel, you know, so much at that physical level. And then it breaks down these barriers that we're holding on to, and just prana, everything begins to flow more freely. And that, you know, creativity that you mentioned, and that was just beautiful, the quote that you shared from the meditation center in India, very powerful. I'm going to have to get that and get that written down word for word, because it was very powerful. And speaking of powerful, you know, anybody who knows your photos have experienced that same intense sensation, that human emotion and compassion. And, you know, right now we are in a big social awareness that we haven't experienced before. And the interesting thing is your photos have always, I think, spoken directly to what we're going through. You know, I feel a lot of activism in your work. I feel like you take chances and you put yourself out there, and it's edgy and it can be a little uncomfortable for people to absorb, but you celebrate, you know, equality and people of all sorts. You know, women, you know, you photograph women being pregnant doing yoga, and you have breast cancer survivors showing their scars, and you photograph children of all ages and, you know, older people. And I mean, it's just, it's countless what you do working with the Yoga for Prisoners, servicemen, the veterans who are, you know, missing limbs. And it's bold. And I just wonder if, have you ever had any fear around putting that out there? Or have you ever received any criticism?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for just seeing the work that I do. I really appreciate that.
It's amazing. It's beautiful. It's kind.
You know, it's that has never mattered to me, because I think it's my dharma to equality, inclusivity, and diversity has just always been on the forefront. Like it gets me excited. It gets me high. It's like, I'll explain it to you this way. So yeah, early on in my career, when I was just starting out, and it was the dawn of the reinvention of narcissism, social media was invented.
Yeah.
So I got caught up a little in photographing people doing really fancy poses and, you know, stuff like that. And I was going through my Instagram, all my history from 2012 or 13, I don't know what it was, but starting to try to delete some things from the past, because I just left them. I was just like embarrassed of them, you know, because it was just, we were searching. It was a whole new thing, filters from Instagram, all that nonsense. And I left it there. But
I think we can all relate to that a little bit, just saying, regardless of what we have on our Instagram from 7 years ago. Let's put that out there.
I do have the urge to just wipe it out, you know, because it's so much more sophisticated now. But you know, at the very beginning, there was a lot of criticism. Like, I feel like I always diversified to a certain degree, but I didn't enough. So I didn't get angry or hurt when there were a lot of people that would make hecklers that would say that, you know, really, really condemn the work when it was a thin woman, you know, or just they felt like they'd seen too many thin people, and then they put their attention on me and attacked me. But eventually what that did was it shaped me, because I listened when I would hear that kind of stuff. And it would inspire me to want to go into more, include everybody and find every type of person and celebrate them. So that would happen. And then when I would share a photograph of a skinny person, sometimes I would get attacked again sometimes, but then I had really developed a reputation for being inclusive, that the people that follow me would just take care of it and squash the situation. But it shaped me, you know. Criticism is not necessarily a bad thing, because it could point you in a direction to reevaluating what you've been doing and just make up your mind for that. But I just, when I first started photographing yoga was in about 2007, and it was very homogenous. It was every cover I'd ever see on Yoga Journal was a blonde haired or just a skinny white woman for the most part, mm-hmm. which is nothing wrong with that, but I want every type of person on the cover of the magazine. So that ultimately inspired me to really rethink things. And when I saw that there was a project in Africa called Africa Yoga Project, I immediately contacted them and said, I'd love to collaborate with you, because I just wanted to dive so far deep into the global arena of yoga and just bring a whole new perspective and start opening it up. And that just led to working with the military and deepened my work with the prisons and breast cancer survivors. And just, I just started to just get so excited about that, right? Inclusivity, equality, and diversity. There's just nothing more exciting to me than that.
Yeah, you were a trailblazer there and a pioneer in that respect. For those of our people listening who don't know, can you tell us what the Africa Yoga Project is all about? I remember writing a little bit about that on the website, but just for the listeners today to hear.
Africa Yoga Project is wonderful organization that was founded by Paige Ellison, who is from New York. And she's a Baptiste yogi. And so he's part founder, Baron is part founder as well. And what they do is they educate youth is one of the things that they do. So teach them the tools of yoga. Because obviously, you know, we live in a world where trauma is inevitable. And they were way ahead of the game. I mean, we're just this year, people are traumatized. Kids are traumatized because they couldn't go to school or, you know, but trauma is something that we're finding that we need the tools to survive and persevere in this world because it is difficult. And so they go into orphanages and teach yoga, or they educate the youth, and then the youth then teach in orphanages. They teach in prisons. They teach in the neighborhoods, and they do teacher trainings, and it's thriving. I mean, it is thriving, and they're doing great work. They're doing great work because when people don't have, like when I was there, I noticed that all of the individuals that were like into it, hundreds, were really into it because it was a new opportunity of a way to live life. And yoga was it. It was very cool.
Awesome. Just one of the many stories. And how blessed are you to have experienced all of these different avenues where yoga is being shared and brought into communities, not just communities, but even like, you know, the prisons and, you know, the servicemen and women that are using this practice to deal with trauma, because we do, we all have it. And I think the more we can put it out there, put it up front, talk about it, you know, even if it is a little uncomfortable, we're moving in the right direction. So I think I remember you doing a workshop that I attended when we were at Hanuman. And I correct me if I'm wrong, did you give us like some tips on taking pictures? Because all I'm hearing about now, I keep seeing this video, how it's all about the angles, and they'll show pictures of a girl that looks one way with the angles, and then they switch it around and she looks like a completely different, you know, different shape.
Right.
But do you have any tips? I mean, without giving all your secrets away and giving, you know, your gifts away, do you have any tips to help us taking photos? Did you do that workshop?
No, that was actually that when you, at Hanuman, I just gave a talk. But I didn't give the workshop. But I always, in all of my talks, at the end, I do give one tip.
Okay.
And that tip is to never look down on anybody. And what that means photographically is, let's say you're photographing your dog or your a child, and you just stand there and you take a picture, and they're shorter than you. So basically what's going to happen is, in the picture, they're going to look very small, like they're looking up to you. So when we go down to the level of the dog and look the dog in the eyes and make the photograph, then it changes the way we see the dog. Yeah, obviously the dog's not going to look at the picture and say, oh, wow, I look like a no, like the child might look at the picture and say that, but it changes the way we see the dog. And that's how we change, evolve the world, is to never look down on anyone and just always be on everyone else's level. It makes a huge difference.
I love that. I love that, because I know you mean that literally and figuratively. And yes, it's just beautiful. So do you have a favorite photo, Robert?
Oh, you know, that's such a great question. There was a woman named, a cranky famous photographer named Imogene Cunningham, and a reporter asked her that question, and she said, "The one I'm going to do tomorrow," which is such a great answer.
But seriously, is there not like that you go and scroll back, or that bring back a certain, you know, emotion or feeling or period of growth for you, or anything that, like, if you're going to show somebody, oh, let me show you this picture, this is the one you go
right
to.
Well, you know, there are many, but I'm going to tell you about one. There was one from Italy when I was doing the Polaroids. And here's the story. So I landed in Venice, or I took the train. I got to Venice, Italy. It was the summer and it was hot. And I ended up using my Lonely Planet guidebook, and I ended up staying at this place. I was really on a budget, and I stayed at this place, and there was a nightclub underneath, and it was hot. The fan didn't work. There was no AC, and it was just, there were mosquitoes, and I was just miserable. And the disco was going all night, and I was just miserable, in a horrible, horrible, horrible mood. So I did self-portraits that night, and I woke up the next morning, and I made up my mind that I was going to go out and just make art. I didn't have any direction or know that much about Venice. And I just, you know, I said, I didn't come all the way across the world to do mediocre work. So I started to aimlessly wander through the city. And I came upon this massive square. And I think this might have been like a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning, because there was like there was chaos. There were no people, and the chairs were so chaotic. And you knew there was a night of partying, and there were the trucks spraying down the cement. And so I looked at it, and it was just the extraordinary square. And I said, I am going to make a perfect photograph. I'm going to solve this puzzle. And I looked at all these chairs and the Roman architecture behind it, and I knew there was one perfect photo in there. And I really, really looked ferociously for it, and just found it. I just found it. Like it just, after a long time, I found it. And I made the photograph, and I looked at it for a while. And then I, like I was telling you earlier, I warmed it up and did the carving. I did explain that earlier, right? About the Polaroids?
No, I don't think you did.
Okay. Well, that's what I used to do, is I used to do a process of photography where I would warm up, where I would use a Polaroid camera. And then right when it came out of the camera, I would warm it up in the sun and then carve into the images. Yeah, I spoke about this earlier. So then I did that, and I looked at the photograph, and it was so perfect, you know. And I remember just staring at it and a tear going down my cheek, because I was so deeply grateful that something so beautiful could come out of me. And I couldn't believe it. And I just felt so connected to the artist of the past and the whole lineage. And I was supposed to be an artist.
I guess pretty early into your photography career. About what stage were we in when you took this picture?
I had never taken a yoga photograph yet. It was probably around 20 years ago.
Wow.
18 years ago.
And can we see this or find this anywhere?
Yeah.
Take a picture of it? Is it on your Instagram?
Yeah. You know, so I had an exhibition later on that year when I got home. And that's when I learned that that photograph was taken in a very famous square called San Marcos Square, which is one of the most famous squares in the world, St. Mark's, where all the pigeons, it's famous for all the pigeons being there.
And you said we can see this on your Instagram, yes?
On my website, yeah, absolutely. In the last portfolio are Polaroids.
Okay.
And San Marcos Square is there. And we can put it in the podcast notes as well if you have the ability to do that.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, yeah. I'd maybe like to get a copy of that to use in the when we put it together. So, you know, Italy, India, Africa, you've been everywhere. And we haven't been able to go anywhere for a while. So where are you looking most forward to going to as soon as you are able?
I love this question, and the answer is going to really surprise you.
Uh-oh.
For a while, I knew that I needed to just stop. And take a breath and catch up to you. Oftentimes, an artist's work is a lot more intelligent than the artist himself. And I knew that I needed time to catch up to my work. So I had been planning on setting aside some time to just really be a boring guy and just have a schedule and do my practice and walk my dog and go to the beach with my dog and find a way to work from home for a while. And so I was about to do that. And then the pandemic started, and now we're, I guess exactly a year into it.
Yep.
And, I still have not, even though I know that there are so many other places that I'd like to go, I'm definitely just absolutely not ready to go anywhere. You know how much I love sitting here right now talking to you, looking out the door open, looking out my window at the prayer flags and the sky and the wind, and being with my dog and not having to get on an airplane and go places. So, you know, right now, yes, there's a lot more world to see, but I think that right now I'm in a midlife awakening, and either this is it or I'm just getting started, but nobody knows, you know. It's like, and that's interesting about it. But if I had to name some places, it's not really necessarily the place. It's more the project. And there's a thriving yoga community of farmers in Illinois that I recently learned about, where I might go do a project there. So I think it's more about the projects that I want to start doing, more pictorial essays and things that are going to that I would like to focus. Like my buddy just became a trucker. So I'm going to fly out to somewhere in the middle of America and do a stretch with him. And he's a yogi, and I'll do a whole series called Trucker Yoga.
Oh, nice.
And you know, just things that come up like that, that are just fun and that inspire me. But as far as going to places, I mean, I do want to go to, I have never seen Alaska. This isn't necessarily to make photographs, but I'd like to go to Antarctica one day. And so I don't know, but ultimately I'm obviously not happy that the world has suffered so deeply, but I am grateful that I've had the opportunity to stay home, be nobody, and do nothing.
And just pause, reset. Yeah. Hey, well, if the trucker yoga brings you through Texas, be sure and let me know and keep me posted. I'd love to be able to share this stuff for you on the website, and, you know, just keeping tabs on you and where we can find you and follow you, because you are always ever inclusive with the farmers and the truckers. And
I love it.
And making it work here as well. And I love that you have just that perception to take something that, and you're not alone, Robert. You know, there are a lot of people who have welcomed this big
pause.
Yes, this big shift that we've gone through. And some people have even found ways, and I know, like you mentioned, a lot of people have been impacted in a negative way.
Yeah.
It goes out to them. But there is another population of people who really, like you said, had an awakening, have been up and are thriving now because they have had to. So
how are your now I'm going to interview you. Sorry. Seriously, you know, I always, whenever I'm on a podcast being interviewed, I always feel like, gosh, I'm so selfish. I don't want it all to be about me. I want to know about you. Like, have you, because I noticed you said you had a job, so I know that you're not, being a magazine editor is not really, a lot of magazine editors, what people don't know is they have to really work so hard at another job in order to be a magazine editor. Put out a beautiful piece of literature to do good for the world. So I noticed you had a job, but are you being impacted with your social skills at all? As far as not being things changing as far as communicating in person with human beings?
Well, you know, I'm in Texas and we have been pretty open compared to the rest of the United States. So yeah, running Yoga Digest, which is now strictly online, we haven't printed in a few years, is kind of what I call my side hustle, you know? And then, you know, my full-time job is I manage a yoga studio. I work for a corporate chain here in Dallas.
Oh, okay.
And we have been open since May the 18th.
Oh, wow.
So we are running full-on classes and having members come in. And so I do feel, you know, we might be a little jaded here when you hear about stories, because I know like California is one of those that is not very open, and a lot of other areas. But for us, it's different. We wear masks, you know, they limit, we have to space ourselves, but we've been plugging along at a pretty regular level of productivity here. Yeah. So
and you're in Austin?
I'm in the Dallas area.
Oh, the Dallas area. Okay.
Yeah.
I know a tremendous amount of Californians are migrating over to Texas.
Oh, we know. Yeah. Well, and everywhere, you know, just the cost of living and the climate and, yeah, being open. And, you know, a lot of like New York is just another place that's just been so severely, heartbreakingly impacted. And, you know, I do miss, though, I miss the entertainment, you know, that we used to be able to have, like the festivals that I would run into you at, and,
yeah,
you know, but I think that we needed a pause, and I hope that we are moving into a more mindful direction. And I don't think anybody's going to be taking things for granted too soon.
Yeah.
Because we've all, you know, we all kind of got cut here, you know, like halt every single person, regardless of what level of impact. The world did literally stop.
Which is such an amazing, I mean, it's just, it's mind-boggling moment in history of humanity. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How interesting to live during this time. And I think, you know, we might be kind of, we've been around and remember, you know, when you didn't have cell phones and we didn't have technology, and then to go through and, you know, have all this technology, and then to experience something like this, that we could know so much globally, how people on the other side of the world were dealing with this. And you know, it's just been a really, really interesting time. And I think it's going to be the subject of a lot of content in the coming years. And it's just going to be the event that people talk about and study, case studies and that changed the world, right? This has changed the world.
Yeah.
But it's such a pleasure to connect with you. It's so great to hear your voice. I'm truly, truly thrilled to hear that you are doing well and that you are peaceful and just have the right attitude, and that you are continuing to work more than anything to find projects that light up your soul so that you can continue to share your beautiful work with us. Is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners?
Well, if you do want to learn more about photography, I will be in a couple of weeks be putting out the workshop online.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So at robertstermanstudio.com.
Got it. Yeah. Well, let me know. And I would love to, of course, put that out there for you. And I would love to share that with our audience, not just through this, but through our other platforms as well. But yeah. I just want to thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for being willing to visit with me. It was so good to catch up with you. I wish you the best, and I do hope we get to see each other at a some type of celebration, intentional yoga festival or something again someday in the future.
We will.
All right. Well, take care, Robert, and thank you again so much.
Thank you, Jen.